Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Welcome to the show, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to yet another enlightening segment of Spiritual Insights. Today we're joined by Mr. Nazim Rashid to discuss his new book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Mr. Rashid serves as a consultant, life coach, author, personal development specialist, and talk show host on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm delighted to have him with us to share his inspiring works. Welcome to the show, Rashid.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. You are very inspiring. You are a powerful motivator. So I have to ask, how did you get started on the path that led you to write this book? Tell us about your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for the limited time we do have with this, I'll explain that my childhood started with me being basically a lonely child emotionally. I came into the world needing, you know, like most children, all children needing validation, and that didn't happen at all. I had a brother who was emotionally abusive, no physical abuse, wonderfully, but emotional abuse there. A father was never there at all. He was a workaholic and never there, and a mother who got entertained, I guess, by my brother's taunting of me. He was more on the, he had a nervous condition, and so she just was entertained all the time about what he was doing, and so I felt very lonely, and then felt that I shouldn't have been here at all, and so to the point where I had suicidal thoughts and suicidal fantasy at a very young age. I felt no reason to be here whatsoever, and I had thought of various ways I could just take myself out painlessly. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a depressive kind of a childhood there. Even though on the outside, I was a comedian. You know, I told little one-liners, and it was a way of kind of just as a smokescreen so people wouldn't see the hurt inside. And of course, you know, when I would ask or I had a discussion with my mother about these things later on, she would say, "Well, why didn't you say something?" I said, "Well, you know, I didn't know how to. I wasn't in an environment where it was okay for children to even speak." I heard "shut up" most of the time instead of, what was your opinion about that? It was more "shut up" all the time. So I shut down and figured, well, I wasn't allowed to speak, so I won't speak. And so I never did talk about how I felt inside. And I just kind of had this facade of being funny and giving one-liners. And inside I was just kind of tormented. And so as I went through childhood, and luckily, I didn't, you know, actually attempt suicide then. But then, when adolescence came, here come drugs. It's all wonderful. So now I'm using drugs. Now I'm feeling good. It's all this is what I had to feel all along.
Numbing the pain.
Fantastic. And doing that, and then I became I was a musician. I became a jazz musician, and now I'm starting to get all this attention, and I'm feeling good with the drugs and attention. So this is fantastic. Now I'm getting into my own. And getting at that rebellious time, and now I'm finally asserting myself. And then what happened, and I went, you know, a lot further in that field than, you know, than I needed to go. Then I started using more and more and more, then to the point where I started selling. And then with those ups and down cycles of depression that I had inside, I actually attempted suicide in my teens. I said, let me just take myself out and be done with it. And that failed, and I just had a kind of tormented life until, when I was my early adulthood, I was actually going through withdrawals because it was a big federal bust in the area at the time, and there was supply was gone, and I started having withdrawal symptoms. And that's what did it for me. Because I felt at that time my ego was so big and so inflated, I figured that everything was below me. I'm on top of the world. I'm in charge, and nothing can control me. I control myself until I didn't have the drugs there. The withdrawal symptoms did. So when I started having those little shakes, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm not having this. I have nothing that's going to control me. So that was my epiphany. I went right into a 12-step program. I said, I'm not having this. No drugs, nothing. It's got to be something better for me than this. No drugs.
Mm.
I went through it, and so in the process, I started finding out more about what spirituality really meant. I had no clue. And I really found God in that process. I became a Muslim, and I said, okay, I'm seeing a new life for myself entirely. So I became a new entire person entirely. I had no thoughts of helping others or being a counselor, or I was just a musician, or, you know, in drugs and music. That was my thing, drugs and music.
Yeah.
But then after that period, I says, oh, man, I have to give back now. After I came on the side of light, you know, and I says,
yes,
I have to now give back. I've got to show others, because I came through. A lot of people did not come through this. I made it through by the grace of God. Now I've got to help other people, and I had to. So I became a mental health and drug counselor, and that's why I just got again, because I fell into this one building who was they wanted to have a job counselor, as a job counselor position. And I thought I would just help somebody, you know, to get into the work field, and you know, okay, I can do that. Well, it was to help the mentally ill. And I didn't know that. I had no experience in nothing, not one lack of experience. I said, I'm not the right person here. And they says, yeah, we see that you are. Yeah, you've got the character we need to have. So, me?
Right.
And so I did. And so I became good at it. I was a good conversationalist. And I said, oh, I'm discovering a new talent here. And then I started studying psychology independently. I didn't go to school for that. I studied independently, and because of my application of what I was learning and the results from the clients, I started getting raises and positions in the mental health field, and becoming a case manager myself. And then I became a drug, substance abuse counselor, and 12-step workshops. And I said, my God, this is wonderful. And so I was just enjoying it. So that's how I kind of came into what I'm doing now, because that was my start. And so after becoming a train coordinator and doing workshops in the San Francisco area and running a youth and adult program. And I started working in school systems, helping children out there. And I came here to Arizona. I'm talking about from San Francisco to Arizona. And I said, you know what, I've got this experience in so many client stories, you know, I'm not actively teaching in the systems anymore. Let me put all this into a book here. I've got to, I've got to comprise this information. So I did. So I started writing. It took me 4 years to write it, and I did. But now the whole idea of mentoring your child self, now that was a new concept. That came to me. I was in the shower, and God gave that to me.
Mm-hmm.
A whole idea of looking at that concept or idea of seeing you when you were, in my case, when I was 8 years old. If I could just have a audience with myself, what would I tell myself? You know, what would I say to myself? You know, and so I thought about that. Whoa, I would be the person that you know. It's not like reparenting. Reparenting is kind of so. But if I was like a next door neighbor that really saw this child next door, and needed help, needed a father, needed someone to hug them and be with them.
Yes.
What would I say? That's okay. I can imagine that. You know, and so what would you call a person? Well, let's see here. Neighbor, best friend, senior advisor. How about mentor? Yeah, mentor to your child self. You know, this is a person that's going to take on responsibility of mentoring and counseling and caring for this child. A mentor to your child self, yes.
Okay.
And so that's how I started. So that's where I am today.
I love it. I can so relate to your early childhood experiences. Didn't quite know that about you, and as I listened to what you were saying about feeling suicidal at a young age, and especially, you know, trying to think of a way to end your life painlessly, that is
right.
A crucial component when we become suicidal at a young age, like 10 years old. You know, we don't want it to hurt, but we want the hurt to stop. So that's a very...
Right.
Does that make... Yeah, and it's a very compelling aspect of our thought process when we're so burdened with those feelings that we cannot express. And oftentimes, when we do express them, it makes the situation worse. So it's
right.
this vicious cycle. But I can so relate, and it helps me to hear you say it. So thank you for that. But I also wanted to mention, you know, you said you didn't have any formal schooling. You basically learned it hands-on, like a self-taught kind of thing. And these people were telling you, no, we think you're the man for the job. I would
right.
agree. I can hear it. I think you would be perfect for that, but it's funny how when we grow up the way we did, when we become adults, how people never see us the way we see ourselves. And the doubt, the self-doubt that says, me in that role? No, this is the role I'm used to. I can't see myself in that role. But then as you get comfortable and things start clicking and the promotions start coming your way, that's God telling you, you're doing what you were meant to do. So I'm sorry that you had a hard time, but I'm glad that big drug bust was a catalyst for your allowing the light to come in. So I'm very happy
something?
For that.
Isn't
mm-hmm.
that something?
It's beautiful. As hurtful as it is and confusing at the time, it's still a beautiful process that helps us get onto the path and reconnect to God, because all of those actions and thoughts and behaviors are basically a cry for help demonstrating that we have lost our connection with our Creator.
Isn't
so.
That something? Yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. I had no clue what any of that meant, you know. And you know, I was brought up in the church when I was growing up, and I thought that was just a joke in the first place. I thought it was just entertainment. And I was very, even though I had my depression, I was very observant. I was a very observant kid. I would watch.
Yeah.
I didn't talk much. I would just watch. And I saw, you know, I saw the cause and effect all over. I said, look at these people. I'm in a church. I'm looking at this. Why are these people acting like this? This guy's a good man up there. Why are they worshiping this guy up here? What's wrong with these people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't say that to anybody, but I never got pulled in by that. I saw it and I said, oh, no. So I really saw, you know, God differently. It was a whole different thing. See, as a lot of people don't know, some people do, that spirituality is not religion.
Absolutely.
It's a different thing entirely. It's all a personal report you have with your Creator. It's a whole other kind of thing entirely. It's not someone giving me a rule saying, do this, don't do that. Wear this, don't do that. No. Spirituality is very personal. It's your connectedness.
Yes.
See? Your connectedness, and that's very important to understand that. I didn't have a clue of that beforehand, but after I came to my 12-step process, then I understood. I said, okay, this is what we're
yes.
this is what it's all about. Okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Religion, in my eyes, religion is a structure that serves a purpose, and that's beautiful. But spirituality is the fabric that connects all of us as children of God.
Oh yes.
And that's why most of us are on this path. And I heard what you were saying about, you know, why would they be worshiping this? And I felt the same way. And in my early 20s, I discovered what I was doing is actually called transference, where we take our feelings about our parents, especially the father
mm-hmm.
figure, and project that onto God. So
oh, yeah.
in my teens, I was very angry. As nice as I, you know, I was always a nice person and polite and all that, but inside, what nobody knew was how angry I was. And I've mentioned several times on the show with other guests because, you know, we all kind of bring out the best in each other and to share these truths. The truth was, you know, when I was a baby in diapers, I had this horrible feeling. I didn't want to be here. I didn't like it here. I didn't like this body. All that feeling. And then, you know, my anger just kept building and building. Why? Because we ask the question why, and we cannot get an answer for that.
Right.
We can't have. It's not because you did anything wrong. It's not because you deserved it. But I'll recap that for you if you like. What I learned was when we ask why something happened or why somebody did something, inside that question is another question, and what we're really asking is, what did I do to deserve this? And that is not a question God can answer, because it's not about deserving and it's not about fairness. It's just about learning. So the proper question I learned to ask is, what is this for? What is its purpose? And so if we look at your life and my childhood, we can now look back with clear eyes, not blurry eyes and not red eyes, that it all served a purpose, and had you were on the path all along, it just didn't feel like it. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, absolutely. I understand.
Would you like
that?
To add?
Back,
I love
oh
that you.
God.
And I love that you got the concept in the shower, because I get a lot of visions and revelations in the shower as well. Would you like to amplify that in some way with your own thoughts about everything I just said?
Well, you know, I am totally your cheerleader right now. You know, I confirm everything you're saying is wonderful, it's fantastic. And I look back and I said, you know what, even though I thought I was on the edge of a cliff, which I was in a way, but I did that, you know, God was there all along, you know, and
yes.
I was an observer for mm-hmm. a reason. I was watching all that because I was taking in information.
Wow.
And really, you know, as adults do, I was like that. I was taking information, processing it, and having my own little
yep.
conversation within myself.
Yeah,
about
I
what
did
I was seeing
same
around
exact
me, you know?
Thing. Unbelievable. You know what I call it? In my early 20s, things really turned around when I finally got my first apartment and I had a safe environment to sleep in.
Okay.
Is when I was able to take a deep breath and really go deeper into my self-study, and I call it the Bruce Springsteen effect.
Oh.
Do you know the song Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, I've heard that before, yes.
You can hide beneath the covers and study your pain, and that's what I did, and I tried to dissect it and break it down, and I think I did a pretty decent job, but, you know, that was the beginning of me finding inner peace and rebuilding my life in the structure that I had always dreamed of. So it sounds like once you said yes and said, okay, I will take this and help others with it because I have to share this gift, there was your moment, you know. I'm sure stars lit up in the sky the minute you made that decision, you think?
Oh, absolutely. And plus, you know, looking at what, you know, I didn't get any of this. I didn't have a Nazim Rashid helping me. I had no Boys and Girls Club mentor, that no one. That, and a lot of times people say, well, we all had one teacher, we had one neighbor, one relative, we had one somebody that was behind us and stood up for us and was our cheerleader. I can't think of not one person.
No.
You know,
not all of us have
one,
that.
Yeah. When I hear that, I say, well, that's not true for everybody. I can't think of not one person. You know, I was totally out there by myself. Not one person at all when I was young. So therefore, when I'm in a position to give back, like I had a youth program in Oakland, California, where I was training six kids through teenagers to become, I call my ambassadors for the community. I put them out in the community and set up workshops in group homes, juvenile
mm-hmm.
hall, and park and rec centers. And I created these kids to be teachers.
Mm.
And they went out into these communities, and they taught other kids.
Fantastic.
They taught them in areas of self-esteem building, self-image, drug recovery, and also set up support groups.
Hmm.
Yeah. And these kids did it. It was the best times ever.
Beautiful.
And before I met these kids, some were thinking about doing drugs themselves. Some are done with their parents. And one girl wanted to run away. And they were in that point where they weren't decide. They weren't sure about what they wanted to do with their lives. They said, well, should I go this way or go that way? I call them right at that crossroads. You know, I call them right there.
Yes.
And I pulled them in. And at first, they kind of give me a hard time at first. Well, you're just like my parents, I'm sure, and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the honeymoon period with kids, you know, when kids test you.
Yes.
And but after a while, they saw I was sincere, and I was for them. I made home visits. I helped them with their homework sometime. And they called me up, you know, late at night. The girls would call me up and tell me about these little boy stories and all that. And they saw I was listening to them. They said, oh, we can trust this one.
Yes. Foster that trust.
And then they started paying attention. I took them on trips. These kids didn't know how to act in the restaurants. I had some volunteers. We took them in the restaurants and taught them how to look at menus, how to sit. The basic things we take for granted. How do you sit at a table in restaurants. How do you order food? How do you, you know, simple basic things a lot of these kids didn't have. So I took them through all that. I had volunteers. I had women take the girls aside and talk about girl things, and we did talk about boy things over here. And went to different ethnic restaurants, to Ethiopian restaurants, Japanese restaurants, and, and different cultural environments. And these kids, boy, they were really they really got exposed to a lot. And so then I said, okay, now you guys are going to help other children out here, you know. And I gave them a curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
We did role playing, and I went to school system, had them started to teach, and those kids shined.
Oh my
they
God!
Shined.
That's amazing because all the things you just mentioned, you know, basic manners, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, on one of my segments, I was saying I had to learn all that stuff on my own by making mistakes.
Me?
I swear, and some of us are not taught these things. Like, for instance, the story I shared was I made this friend in a park when I was 14. She's still my best friend. And I learned phone manners and phone etiquette by listening to her in her house.
Mm.
Otherwise, I'm sure I came off pretty rude not knowing what to say, but these things were not addressed.
Dude.
How to act in a restaurant, how to act in a movie theater. First time I went to a movie theater, I was terrified, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's amazing. Wow, we are so much alike.
Granted, you know, isn't that something?
What I love is that your book is very unique in that you focus on the child self. What does that mean as opposed to the inner child? Because I understand there are two different things. Tell us about the child self.
I'm so glad you posed that question. I'm so glad you did. Because see, the child self is that mm-hmm. little person you used to be. You can get a picture. Matter of fact, I instruct all my fans, you know, to always have pictures of themselves around them every day. Get a picture of that 3-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, whatever age fits you and whatever picture you have around. Put them up. Put them on your computer monitor. Make screensavers of them. Look into those little eyes and put love into that picture. Love into that little child self. That's the child self, mm-hmm. that flesh and blood person you used to be. That's what I'm talking about. Connect with that child self. Imagine yourself hugging that little one and telling that person that you love them. Look in their eyes and say, I love you. I love you. I love the spirit inside of you. I love everything about you. I'm here for you. I got you. We're going to make it. We're going to make it happen. And I'll make mm-hmm. sure that you understand what love's all about. You see, that's what I'm talking about, that child self and so forth. So therefore, that's why it's very important that people have to not only have a good imagination, but they have to validate their creativity, validate their imagination. You can create another life for yourself. You can create another reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it my virtual process for success. And basically, it's going in your imagination, just creating scenarios. Imagine you're a playwright, and you're creating different kind of plays. You're on stage, and so, you know, when the stage opens, the curtain opens up, it's a block. Imagine the house that you used to live in, and mm-hmm. imagine next door to that house, you're going to place yourself there as a next-door neighbor. Mm-hmm. Just put yourself there. And you're older, you know, say for instance, someone might be 45 now. Okay,
mm-hmm.
all right, fine. Your 45-year-old mentor, you're next door, and your mother was probably, maybe your mother was 25, okay, your father
right.
was maybe 30. Okay, all right, now, okay, you're 45, and this woman now next door to you is now she's 25, and her husband is 30,
mm-hmm.
all right? And there's a little son there, and he's 4 years old. Okay, there you go. That's the scenario right there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the neighborhood, you're older, they trust mm-hmm. you, you've been there for a while, they listen to you, you have a counseling background. They know that you've worked with kids before. They trust you, and they love you so much, they want you to become a godparent to their child. You say, of course I will do that, little darling child. Of course I'll be a godparent. And you start a process right there. The little child comes over and every day to check them with you, you know, and
yeah.
And so forth. That starts a process, that tight bonding relationship. And so, you know, the important part of being a mentor versus reparenting, when you're actually a relative or parent there, you're so close, it's hard to be objective. It's hard to be objective that way. If you're a neighbor, you're not family per se, but
mm-hmm.
you're a caring person that can tell them things that their family probably wouldn't tell them. Make sense?
Yes. There? Yes.
Yeah.
You
so
have more
mentor,
clarity. Yeah.
Yes. And that's a third-party approach. It's different, and it's stronger, and it's wonderful. And so you work out those things. And so when you have problems, you know, when the child itself had problems, you know, savings you... You had a brother who just, you know, knocked you down the stairs one time, and you're crying, you're hurt at the bottom of the stairs. You luckily you didn't break your neck, and so forth, you know, you got no solace whatsoever. You know, your brother ran off laughing. The mother didn't believe it really happened, and you followed them around, and you're hurt. You're
mm-hmm.
hurt, and you're crying.
On
well, no
many levels, you're hurt. Yeah.
Yes. You've abandoned, you're hurt, you're neglected, and you run next door. And you say, well, Mr. Rashid, something happened to you. What happened? You explain the whole thing. You hug that child. You say, you deserve the best, and I'll make sure you get the best from your family. You deserve nothing but the best in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you imagine yourself as a 45-year-old adult you're talking to now the mother. Say, hey, I heard that... Little Johnny here, you know, had a problem, and no one said anything. And he said, well, you know, the kids was playing. No. He was crying. He was hurt. No one picked the child up. I'm not having this. I'm the person, godfather, and I'll make sure that he gets the best, so I'm not having it. He needs help. So I want you to make up that child. Tell that child that you love him. It'll never happen again. You're the mother. Oh. Okay. I didn't know it was that serious. Yes, it was that serious.
Yes.
Oh. So you go to these scenarios, and what happens is that when you have this patching up of these old wounds,
mm-hmm.
and you have forgiveness in there and love is there, that child feels it. When that child self feels it, believe me, you feel it.
Yes.
And you don't have that baggage anymore. You don't have those wounds. Those wounds will not become a present issue in your life anymore. They're gone. They're replaced.
They're
by
healed.
Feeling.
Yes. Absolutely. And do you feel as I do with regard, let's all visualize in our minds, you know, Johnny knocking this poor child down the stairs. And when you said that, I recollected something I witnessed in my own house. And the way my little, how do I say this? The way that child landed on the floor and then fell forward where his head cracked onto the bottom step, which were made of oak, and it split his face. And he sat up and he looked at me and he says, why am I the one that gets hurt all the time? And it's just, you know, kind of reliving that. So a couple times you almost brought me to tears, I'll tell you. A couple times you almost brought me to tears, and no one else has. But do you feel as I do? The point to this little monologue is when we go to approach forgiveness, do you feel it's an important factor to bring into our awareness that, for instance, the mother said, no, the kids were just playing. She had a totally different perception of what was happening and didn't realize the violence that actually occurred. It was actually an act of violence. Do you feel that if to help ourselves, we need to recognize when looking back into the past, they really understood the impact of the actions or inaction? If they really understood the impact, that they would never do it because of the statement, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, and I take that to mean, if they really knew the damage it was causing, they would have never allowed it to occur. Do you agree with that?
Exactly. Well, absolutely. They still don't know. They don't know. The thing is, remember, they were never taught when they were children.
Exactly.
They were never nurtured like that when they were children. They were not understanding this, you know, so they didn't know themselves. All they knew is you were hurt, you brush yourself off and keep going. And just people get hurt in life, and that's all there is to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also think that sometimes some parents, I suspect that you and I are good at what we do with children because we remember so vividly what it's like to be a child. And I think some people lose their connection to their child self. And then when dealing with their own children or other children, there really is a noticeable gap in their understanding of how you think and how you feel when you are a child coming up against these experiences that begin to mold you into something so different than what you were the moment you were born, which was pure love and innocence. Do you agree with me in that?
Absolutely correct. I love children, man. I just love kids. You know, I do all kind of exercise with them, and all everything I do with kids, all self-esteem building activities. I validate them every step of the way. When they're playing with their like one kid I know of, he loves his Transformers, you know, and his old bunch.
I like them too.
And think about it. I said they're a wonderful thing to talk about because it's so symbolic. And so I said, well, tell me about this one. What does he do? Oh, his name is whatever. And he does this. I said, why does he do that? You know, why was he changing it? Tell me about that. Well, because when he's like this, no one knows who he really is. So he has this form here, but he could change his form there if he needs to. You know, you know. I said, oh, so he has the ability to actually have a different appearance there and when necessary, and he's okay with that. Yeah, he's okay in any kind of way. He knows how to be anything he wants to be. I said, wow. I said, are you like that sometimes yourself? You know, do you know how to change up the thing where you are in order to be okay? And he says, yeah, I can do that too. I said, so you identify with these transformers sometimes, don't you? Don't you feel like you can be a transformer yourself? Yeah, I am. I am a transformer. And it really goes into really good conversations and gets the kid to really think about themselves, you know?
Fantastic. Did you notice when you asked him that question, was there a look in his eyes where he had to think about it for a split second?
Yes.
Like, am I what? Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Uh-huh. And then starts to kind of saturate his mind, like, without real. I can kind of see it happening as you recount the story. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. Because we talk about these things, and it all builds up. I said, you know, a fantastic job here. You know what? You're the kind of person that can create these things like this and just be wonderful all by yourself. Because, you know, you don't have to have people around you all the time. You know how to create your own reality, and you can be happy right there.
Wow.
And said, yeah. See, that speaks to that validation inside the person.
Mm-mm-mm. So tell us the process of your book. What kind of process does it take us through? And is it aimed mostly at adults, or can younger readers get something out of it?
Well, it's really for adults to repair issues in the past and have a life, you know, how to create a life of their desire. Idea that the book starts with first thing is forgiveness. You know, that's always the very first step. That very first thing you have to do is learning how to cut off people who are causing some present damage in your life. You know, cut them off. When I say forgiveness, I'm talking about that. Now, of course, if someone did something that violated your space, that broke the law, yeah, they need to be arrested. They need to be taken care of. You know, I'm just saying that forget about the illegal acts that they did with you. We're not saying that. We're saying that emotionally, you don't let them bother you. So you cut them off emotionally so they don't become a present burden on you. That's very, very important. So you cut them off that way, so they don't influence you. Your blood pressure's not up thinking about what they did. Mm-hmm. They are a non-existent entity, you know, in that regard.
You free yourself from that emotional cycle that you get stuck in when we have a grievance.
Absolutely, and you move
right.
on.
Okay,
you know, and you do that. That's the very first step there, and then from that point, you know, the chapters are arranged in such a way that if people just take it. Just as it is, then they'll learn because you've got self-esteem, and you have a self-image, you have validation, and so you learn these things step by step. As you learn these things, you learn how to purge yourself of these negative voices that always told you that you cannot do this, you cannot be that, you cannot think like this. You purge yourself of those voices, you see, and then you add in the voices of building and establishment. You add in these voices that actually keep you pumped up, you see. And so you can't just get rid of stuff. You have to, you know, purge first and then add in what you need to add in there so you can feel wonderful and fantastic every single day.
Absolutely.
And that's very important when you do that. And then you have the validation. And validation is so important. You have to build up, like I was talking about the kid I was talking about earlier, talking to them as a person, complimenting them as a person. See, it's not just compliments. Like, oh, Johnny, that was a nice little piece of art you drew. That's very nice. I'm not talking about that. That's not validation. I would say you are the kind of person that does great things like this on a regular basis. I appreciate being around you. I love that. Thank you very much for you being you.
Mm.
That's validation.
That is. Wow.
Yes.
You want to hear a funny story real quick?
Go ahead.
Do you want to hear a funny story? I read this tiny little article. You know that you get this little snippet, whether it's on the internet or in like a Reader's Digest, and it's this tiny little paragraph, but then it impacts you so profoundly that you never forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so I came across this little story, and the writer said, never forget the degree to which children need validation. And his son had come to him, and he wanted to have an activity with the dad. And so the dad was like, well, what would you like to do? And the kid's like maybe 4 or 5. And he says, I know, Daddy. Let's play darts. I'll throw the dart, and you say, wonderful. And that's the game the child wanted to play.
He wanted to play darts.
He wanted to play darts, but he wanted to be the one to throw the dart. And then every time he did, the dad was to say, wonderful.
No matter
where it landed. I can imagine a whole bunch of darts sticking into the paneling, like brown paneling in a basement. But that hit me so hard because we do. How many times, listen, you know, close your eyes and listen if that's available to you at this moment. Don't do this while you're driving. But how many times did you say, Mom, look what I can do, or watch me, or, you know, whether it's a skateboard or a bicycle or cartwheels, you know, look what I can do. And how many of us have caught our parents looking at first, and then the minute they don't think we realize it, they're back to talking to the person sitting next to them, or they're looking at the TV, and how disappointing that was.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure, yeah.
You have to be present.
It really is like that.
And it lends to presence. You have to be present when you're validating your children. You have to look them in the eye, like you said, and not be half-assed about it, pardon my French, but don't give them half of Don't give them half of your heart. Give them your whole heart and let them know.
And another thing I want to say real quick, don't just be kind for appearance sake. That's another big one. You know, when relatives are around, then you're lovey-dovey, you know.
Yes.
Oh, here's my son here. Oh, well, look what he does. He does all these great things. Here's my son. Here's my son. Here's my son. You know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's gone, you're absentee parent again.
Yes. That is so... It's so, like, self-inflating. I don't know what the word I want to use is, but when a parent brags about their children for their own benefit, and then it's a different story when it's just a different story. There's some kind of switch that somebody keeps switching on and off, and the kid doesn't know what to think of what the parent really believes about them or understands about them. No wonder it leads to drugs.
But when you start seeing a consistent pattern, believe me, a kid learns real early that, okay, they don't mean anything they're saying.
Uh-huh.
You know? They don't mean a thing they're saying. Because every time somebody comes over, then they want to brag. And as soon as the person leaves, they're gone again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're absent. And says, you know, I don't believe a thing. So therefore, that lends other things. That means that if I can't believe them here, I can't believe them here either. So I'm setting a whole... a blanket kind of a belief system about these parents. My parents that you know they're inauthentic. They're you know and I can't trust what they're saying.
Yeah, you need to be authentic and you need to be consistent. I think these are the two major components in any kind of of relationship interaction. Is you have to be authentic and you have to be consistent. If you're all over the place, so will your child be, and that's what leads to drugs and experimentation with things like that. And it also leads to getting into sexual relationships far too early because they're looking for the love they feel they're missing. When you raise a self-assured child, they don't reach for those things.
right.
because they feel above those things. But when if a child's down here and looking up and saying maybe that's the answer, that is what they will reach for, and this
yes.
is what we need to work together to prevent. But since I'm on the subject, you mentioned drug recovery as being one of the many benefits in your book,
mm-hmm.
And you have like a program about it in there. How is your program different from the 12-step program already in place today?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you asked the question. Very good question. Well, mine
mm-hmm.
is called the 12 Principles of Recovery versus the 12 Steps of Recovery. 12 Principles. And what I do in that book, what I've done, is to show people concretely, very, very, you know, a focused way of living a balanced, clean, sober life. That's a life of production, a life of giving back, and a life of leaving a legacy for those coming behind you. And it's a reason why you'll have a changed life. So 12 steps is too vague. Even though I went through it myself, going through it, I saw that I couldn't go through it the way it was. Well, listen, I had to change it as I was going through it because I said, you know, it's too loose. I can use it again and be okay with this program. I said, no. I need to have something that works. So I had to change it as I'm going through it. And so I did. I changed the words around. I changed the concepts around myself as I was
mm-hmm.
going through it. And so that became the 12 principles of recovery. So it's very, very concrete. Well, you know, 12 principles, 12 steps talks about a higher power. And that could be anything. They said, it could be anything. You could call higher power the grapefruit tree outside, or it could
mm-hmm.
be anything. You know, anything outside yourself that you love and admire. It could be. I said, no. 12 principles says higher self, higher power, is God, is the creator, is the entity that brought us here in the first place. You cannot create it; it creates you. And so, no. And so then it creates you and then it becomes a part of you. So the whole idea is that there's a real exact way that I have my program laid out there. Another thing is the whole idea of admitting that you have a problem. Yes, that part is very similar. And the whole idea is that after you do that, you have to do something about that. And you have to get rid of all those influences that cause you to use, and I talk about to have an emotional inventory that you have to clean out. You got to replace them with things that you want to have. Because what happens is we always operate by references. Anything we do, we do it by references. And when I say that, I'm saying you're going back in the pantry of our mind and pull things off the shelf that we're used to. And if we see things back there like lying, stealing, conning, and you know that's not inventory. We're going to use that because we always have done it, and it's always worked for us. But when we clean it out and place it with forgiveness, compassion, love, and that's there, and we reach for those things, we'll have a new life entirely. So we have to have a new kind of way of referencing our life and what we're taking on as the tools for our daily living.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there. I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in there. And when people go to this program, and they have done it when I was in California, I can't remember. I didn't hear about anybody relapsing. The whole idea is that I close loopholes because part of the program is helping others. If you aren't helping others and they aren't benefiting, you haven't finished the program. You see, the program involves you helping others.
Right.
And as you're doing that, that helps your recovery, and you're doing much better in your life, and now you're a productive person. And using is nowhere on the list of things to do. It's
mm.
a whole idea of how can you allow yourself to be used, you know, to help
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a whole other kind of mindset entirely. Another kind of mindset. When you get angry, what do? You sit down, maybe lay down, meditate. Deep breath,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Change the energy.
Change your environment.
Yeah.
And you do
change
those things.
Energy.
And yes. And then you start allowing spirit to come through you. Allow that fresh air to come through you, you know, and focus on your heart space and see what your heart's doing. And, you know, and after a while you say, oh, okay, now I can do things this way now. That's better.
Right.
That's what you do, you see. Why? Because you have new references.
Yes. I'm a student teacher of A Course in Miracles. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay, so the trouble we run into when we're angry or experiencing any emotion other than love, we go into reaction, and it's to your benefit on every level to learn how to get out of reaction as quickly as possible, release the emotion. It's okay that you're having the emotion. That's part of life. But releasing that and opening yourself to say, show me differently. Show me how to see peace instead of this. And let them take over. That's what they want us to do. I just wanted to throw that in there. But I have a very important question to ask you.
Absolutely.
You were mentioning, okay, so you have people reading the book in a recovery sense do an emotional inventory and look at the references by which they operate, the things they're used to, the emotions they're feeling, the emotional environment that they're so familiar with that it's difficult to break out of. And I know for some people, processing new energy of love and compassion and forgiveness and vulnerability is very difficult for many who are so used to those murky waters. And, you know, the unfamiliar can be very scary. But my question is this. There are also programs out there like Al-Anon where a person who's not addicted can get help dealing with a person who is or understanding their childhood. So can a non-addicted person benefit by this area of your book in, I would assume they can, but is it written in a way that a non-addicted person can benefit as well as someone
absolutely
struggling with a substance problem?
Absolutely, because what happens is it's very important for those who have relatives or mates who are addicted or have gone through a program to, in order for them to become empathic at all, they have to understand what they've gone through. They have to look at their own issues. Because think about it, you know, energetically speaking, you can't be with someone and be attached without having some of the same influence or same energy inside, same vibration inside you. There's something inside you. If there was nothing that was similar, you wouldn't be with that person in the first place. There's something in there that's attracting you. Anyway, so you have to look at that. And so the idea that the book is very good. Now, this is why in the book I tell folks that when you get to the part about codependency and recovery, don't skip that. Read it anyway. You know, things that don't directly apply to you, you can skip over those little sentences or little paragraphs here and there. But believe me, your answer is still in that area. Matter of fact, I'm looking at that fourth principle now, and that's one of my biggest ones in there. I talk about the inventory, and so I talk about the negative and the positive. Right now I'm looking at self-pity as being one that addicts, they love self-pity. And then right after that, I talk about the positive, feeling good about yourself. Right after that. Then after I have resentment, that comes next, you know. So then after resentment, we have love unconditionally, you see. And so when they start seeing these areas, they say, oh, yeah, I remember your hatred. Oh, yeah, I know that one real good. But now, do you know love unconditionally? Oh, okay. I mean, look at that, you see. And yeah, forgiveness, it's all in there. So it spells it out. So those who have never tasted the drugs themselves can see that they have more love unconditionally inside them. And understand what that means. That doesn't mean that you love the illness. You love the spirit inside the person. You love that unconditionally. Now, some people get that twisted also. They say, well, you know, that's where codependency comes in. Well, I love this person, even though I got a black eye today, and I still love the person. Well, stop, the red light, stop.
Yes.
No. You would love yourself to the point where you're not going to allow anyone to abuse you.
Mm-hmm.
You love unconditionally the good spirit inside you and good spirit inside that person. However, it does not mean that you allow them or anybody to abuse you at all. You can love somebody from a distance.
Absolutely. And DNA does not matter. I do not look upon DNA the way I used to. I see it as, you know, the DNA is the blueprint for the teachers that you chose in your earlier environment. But it doesn't mean that you have to surround yourself with the same blood to be happy, because in most cases you cannot. And I think that those of us who did grow up in a childhood environment that did involve abuse or neglect or indifference, mm-hmm. I do feel they should get your book and put themselves through this little 12-step principle program mm-hmm. in order to clear out what might be holding them back from living up to their full potential. Because, you know, we all need to work on something. None of us have a clean slate. It's a daily process of self-evaluation and self-discovery and self-healing, you know?
Yeah, it's continuous, you know. And matter of fact, you know, even I pick up my book and it's amazing, you know, that's how God works. I'll put up, sometimes I'll just turn any page and I'll say, oh, my God, I need this today. And I'll look at something.
Beautiful.
And I said, did I write this? I said, oh, my. And it's like that. It's a continuous process, like water. You can say, well, you know, I don't need water today. I drank it yesterday. Well, we do it every day.
Air, water, yes. Oh, my goodness. Now, do you go around lecturing?
Well, I do. I haven't done it in a quite a little while now. I feel a little edgy right now because I love being in a teaching mode. And I was at a health store recently, about 2 months ago, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I was teaching there, and it was wonderful there. And so much to talk about. It's sometimes hard to know what area to start, you know. But I love doing what I'm at mode right now. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to do a lecture for a Lions Club pretty soon.
Okay.
And I love the whole idea because think about it. People don't understand this part. See, if you don't live a reconciled life, you know, you're not living life. You know, you aren't. You're living a burdened existence, you see, and you can't live. You know, it's like living with someone just doing a piggyback thing on you all the time, and you think, well, I'm moving along as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you are, with that burden on you, I guess you are.
Yeah.
But just think how you would be if that person wasn't on your back.
Absolutely.
You know, and so forth. So that's why it's so important, you know, to taste what freedom really tastes like. And that's kind of my mission. I want folks to know what it feels like to be really free, really free.
And alive. Alive.
Yes.
Not this mostly dead all day, you know, kind of feeling where you're just existing. That is not what God wants of us, you know?
No.
What's your website?
One of the things I talk about, I've talked about quite a bit, is the metaphor of a lighthouse.
Mm.
And I said that we have to be the lighthouse. You know, what is a lighthouse? A lighthouse is something that's firm, immovable, is out there for anybody to see who's lost their way.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are lost in the tide of emotions, you know, taking them here, taking them there. They don't know what's going. They think they know where they're going. They find lost out there. But if they can see a lighthouse, they know how to come home. And I tell my audience, I want everybody here to think of themselves as being that lighthouse. Be that light that's always there for someone who's lost their way.
Mm.
You see? They come right to you for help, knowing that you're always there for the right kind of guidance and direction for them. They can depend on you. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we do see ourselves as that lighthouse, when we do accept and embody our life's purpose for those of us who came to be a lighthouse for others, you know, you might be able to dim it a little bit, but you can never turn it off. So never deny an opportunity to help another child of God find the light within themselves. Absolutely. You know what I did? Want to hear something funny? I love talking to you. I don't want this conversation to end. I really don't.
Well, all right.
Will you come back and do another segment in January? I'm doing
Anytime.
Okay.
I love this. I love doing this. I'm levitating right now.
Well, the theme for January for me, maybe we can duplicate or replicate it together. The theme for January, the vision I had was honoring your resolution to change your life. And as you heard in my intro, you know, if you want to change your life, you have to first change your mind. You cannot solve your problems with the same mind that created them. And so I'd like to bring you back to go deeper into this emotional inventory and, help the listeners, because I will be bringing back very powerful speakers who have these techniques. But it's very important that we look within and identify what we're really feeling.
Yes.
And I love your approach of, you know, identification, release. But it's a law of energy. A lot of people come to me telling me how sick they feel to their stomach. And, I, you know, you've got to figure it out. When you release and remove energy from your energy field, I'm going to go metaphysical now. When you release energy from your energy field in your aura, you have to replace it with white light or positive energy.
Yes.
Because if you do not, you're creating a vacuum, and you will get sick, mostly in the pit of your stomach. Because when we have an issue with personal power, that is where it sits in your solar plexus, or the third chakra for those of us who are into that. But when you start releasing, you have to remember that energy is cyclical, and you have to replace it with positive energy to take up the space that is now void of energy. It's like pouring out a glass of water and then wondering why you're thirsty. So please remember, everybody tuning in, to let go and then embrace and fill that spot, that space, with positive energy, positive intention, mantras, whatever you want to do, but I just wanted to emphasize that point. And I went to your website, and I want to point out that, you know, you delve into everything we talked about here, child self, within the adult self, talking about building self-esteem, improving our negative self-image, validation. But I also want to point out that you also go into anger management. You have a workbook for anger management.
Yes.
And picking up perhaps some new or improved communication, listening, and mediation skills. And I think that's something we should all aspire to, no matter how well you communicate. It's always good to pick up new skills. Can you tell us a little more about your website and all that it offers?
Sure, absolutely. It's called Clouds of Abundance, just like it sounds. After the three W's, we have Clouds of abundance.com.
Uh-huh.
And there you find all kinds of things. There on the home page, you'll find just my journal, topics that I cover there, and also two videos. There are two videos that are offered right now on YouTube. One on parenting. If you go to youtube.com and hit Reconnected the Parents Manual, again, Reconnected the Parents Manual, you'll find a three-part series on parenting based on the book there, which were your parents. And so we can have emotionally balanced children, like we're talking about, validating your children, making sure they feel like kings and queens and angels, that they came here to shift the world, you know, to let them know that at an early age. I talk about all that. And also there's a relationship. Another thing we can talk about, too, relationships. Based on the book there, too, as a relationship video. And that you go to same YouTube.com, put Reconnected the Relationship Manual. Yes, Reconnected the Relationship Manual. And you'll see that there also. Now on the bottom of that home page, you can actually sign up for my weekly affirmations. I actually will personally give you a weekly affirmation, something you can use for the week to carry through, which is kind of based on excerpts of the book there. And allow your time to actually give me feedback, and we can actually have a little dialogue there, too, if you like. And so you can do it that way, too. And I have different topics and nice little picture clips there that make you smile. I like babies. So I have a lot of baby pictures on there. I have nice little big cheeks. No.
You're so sweet.
So
tough guy.
Quite a bit.
Tough guy over here. Loves babies and kittens.
Oh, boy. All these little baby cheeks and... And really, I love them. So I got little baby pictures in there a lot of times. Anyway, so that's there. And so you can see the book that Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. By a matter of fact, what I can do is I can give anybody that's listening stateside for the next 30 days, if you go to my site there, I will actually sell your book without shipping charge.
Ooh,
If you go right to the site and order it, you can't get that. So you have to contact me, and I have to send you a special email for that. But you can get that without shipping for the next 30 days for sure. Now, for those of you who are listening that are outside the States, you can go to Amazon And they always have sales going on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And if you have Kindle or Nook, you can get it on the e-book format. And it costs very little. Like that. It only costs like, you know, some $7 or so, and very little. And you can get it that way, too. The whole idea, we want you to get the information and start changing your life. You know, some people buy the book and they get excited because they say, oh, I can change my life. And then they read one chapter and they put it on their shelf and don't do anything. The idea is that if you really want to make a real solid change, if you want to make a real transformation, you've got to get into this book. You got to get into it and start applying the principles, applying the exercises, and actually do the work and see the change affected around you in order for you to realize the change in your life. You know, it's very important. So, yeah, you have to do that. You have to do that.
Make a commitment. Commit to yourself if rather than commit to your grudges and your grievances and your self-pity, as you mentioned, which is a very – it's usually – self-pity is usually the very slippery slope that gets us into depression. And, you know, self-loathing isn't very far behind. So, you know, if you or somebody you love is suffering, get this book and put it in their hands, read it, do the lessons, come back in January when Mr. Rashid joins us once again. The name of the book, again, is Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And I do feel deeply that this will be hugely impactful for so many people. And thank you for the special offer to the listeners. There's one more thing I wanted to ask you about. Tell us about your radio show. You're on Blog Talk Radio, and your show is called Reconnected.
Yes, I'm a host of...
Tell us what you're doing down the hall.
Yeah, right down the hall.
Tell us what you're doing down the hall.
The Reconnected Show. It's called The Reconnected Show. And blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Just remember, Reconnected. And go there. And my talk show is on every Saturday at 1 o'clock or Eastern Standard Time. And I interview guests that actually mirror the topics in my book. And so, but what I want to do, I want to hear other perspectives on the principles in my book. Say, for instance, if we're talking about parenting, I want to hear from, you know, those parenting specialists about, you know, their perspective. And we can share some things and we can all learn. I learn myself all the time from my guests. And so we talk about that. We talk about, you know, spiritual concepts. We talk about happiness, relationships, child development, and addiction recovery. And it's all positive. I don't do current events. I don't do any of that. Now we do news stories, but they're always happy news stories. Happy news stories. And my
That's
wife
great.
Actually reads that on the air. It's always happy things going on in the route. And so I research and find a good, happy news story that's inspiring and motivating, and we talk about it on the air.
I love that. Stories of triumph and goodwill, you know. I wish somebody would create a public television station, and maybe Oprah can pull it off. I just want to hear what people are doing for others. I don't want to hear who's killing who, you know. It's terrible.
Right. Right.
It's fantastic.
In the last show, I featured a guy who actually created cardboard bicycles.
Get out.
He did it for the world. He said, I want to go low cost. I want to provide every child, every third world country, a little bicycle so they can get around.
No kidding.
Cardboard bicycles.
I'd like to check that out. I haven't been on a bicycle since I was around 10 years old. It's weird. What's that? What was that?
I'm okay.
Okay. You went out for a minute.
I did?
You were saying,
I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you're back. What were you going to say? I hadn't been on a bicycle since 10 years old.
Right. It's really something. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we do, for sure. So it's always happy, wonderful, positive. We laugh at the beginning of the show. We do an opening universal prayer. We have a good time, you know. So it's always positive light. We don't do politics, none of that. Cause we do everything is a high vibration on the show.
Fantastic. You are amazing. You really are. I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Thank you. I receive graciously.
Oh, good for you. There you go. And that's another thing. Learn how to, Does your book teach people how to accept compliments? Because when we have low self-esteem and we get a compliment, it makes us feel funny and we say stupid stuff. Took me a while.
I talk about that. Yeah, that's in the book.
Good. Okay. This one-stop shopping if you want to fix your self-esteem. Get the book by Nazim Rashid. Oh, Reconnected, How to Mentor Your Child Self. And as we said in the beginning of the show, a little different than your inner child. This is a direct connection to the child you used to be.
Absolutely.
And I feel that that's a very unique and profound perspective that we should all embrace. So thank you so much for writing the book and for putting it out there. I do hope everybody benefits from this, or at least spreads the word that there is help to be found. I will be tuning into your radio show. I want to bring up one more thing. It's like I'm holding you hostage here, but your first publication is Young Fathers Life Skills Curriculum and Facilitator's Guide. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we go?
Oh, yeah, that was written by... First publication was really wasn't for the public. It was just for organizations that work with young people who are finding themselves being early parents, teenage parents, young adult parents, and specifically for the boys who found themselves being fathers and had no clue of what to do, and so it was written for that population. And actually, there are some excerpts that were actually cut and paste from that into Reconnected, areas like self-esteem and some things that are in that book that kind of transferred over because they're universal. But that was really designed to really help these young boys to understand what manhood's all about, the responsibilities, and the value of women. These boys have some awful stories justifying, domination over the girlfriends, and I couldn't stand it. So we did a lot with honoring women, honoring mothers, honoring the female principle, looking at different kind of ways so they can kind of see that by them, even thinking negative thoughts toward their girlfriends, it's like they're doing to their mothers, And so we had to do a lot of work. It was amazing to me. I didn't know how to concentrate on the area until we actually did it, but we had to do it quite a bit. But it's okay. We did it. And we got their minds turned around as to what their responsibilities and how to be an active father in their child's life, and to be a helpmate to their girlfriends also, and to help everybody, and so I wrote that for the organizations, and it really helped. I was flown down to Jackson, Mississippi for a father's program down there and gave a talk and workshop, and they bought the book there for their program, and Detroit bought a book for their Rites of Passage program there, and it was very helpful. And so that was written for that perspective, and it was very good. And then Reconnected came along, and a lot of people ever asked me, during those days, why don't I make a book like this available for the public? And I said, well, this one is a curriculum. It's really for schools or organizations, because there are worksheets in there, and there's tests in there, but I can formulate something for the public. And so that gave me the germ of the idea of Reconnected, actually.
Okay. So they're kind of related. Okay.
Yeah, they're related.
Wow.
They're related there. Mm-hmm.
And no doubt your success rate is phenomenal.
Oh, it's a total other kind of stuff. With these boys, when I said, well, these girls should be honored. Honored? What? And it was like another language I had to teach them. It took a while to do it, but after a while we had exercise. We brought girls in there sometimes. We talked about the mothers. We talked about, that they all came through the same birth canal with a female principal that brought them here in the first place. They really, had a complete turnaround mindset change as to how they should be in order to have a successful life themselves. It says, in order for you to even have a good life yourself, by yourself, you have to love that which you came from.
Yes.
Because
love is how you got here.
Yeah. So it worked. It took work, and it was very successful. It was very good. And when I was flown to Mississippi, that was phenomenal. They had a grant for a curriculum that covered each chapter I had in my book.
Really?
And I said, look at this. Talking about hand and glove here.
Yeah.
they're granted. They said you got to cover these areas, and all those areas were covered were covered in my book.
Fantastic.
I said, wow. So that was great there. They wanted this. So man, what a need here. What a need. This is a fantastic thing. So it developed from that point, and so that was a germ of idea for Reconnected, and so now you know Reconnected is here, and anybody can get it, and learn from it. And right now I've had over 10 countries who have actually tuned in to the Reconnected show, and so who knows? You know, the world is shifting right now as we speak.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, and I think you're a big part of it. Fantastic having this conversation with you and spending time with you and learning. You know, everybody knows as we teach, we learn, so we're enriched just by having a simple dialogue about this kind of growth. So I thank you so much for coming on my show, and I want everybody, please visit his self-help and personal development website, cloudsofabundance.com. Tune into his show. You said Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern?
Mm-hmm.
At blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And we can hang out with you on Facebook. The name of your page is Child Self Love.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And you are also on selfgrowth.com
mm-hmm.
/experts/Nazeem Rashid. With a hyphen in the middle. And what can we expect to find at selfgrowth.com?
Well, I write articles there. I have articles there, and they're based off my book there, too. And there's nice articles. People have time to kind of sit down and read something nice. You see, too many times we sit down, you know, we're in the beauty shops, barber shops, and we pick up these magazines that give you nothing, that give you no emotional nutrition whatsoever.
Mm, but your makeup will look really good. Crying
yeah,
out loud.
Now, how many articles and where you can go there and read nice, uplifting articles and so you can not just feel good, but know that you are good.
Aww.
You see?
Yes. Very
so
important.
Yes, for sure. So I'm telling you,
hey.
if I had a shop, you know, I would have nothing but personal growth, metaphysical magazine. There would be no choice. That's all that would be in there.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, and don't forget, everybody, when you go to his website, we can sign up for, you have daily positive affirmations?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Lay one
absolutely,
on it.
Yeah.
Just one down, Nazeem, before we go.
Some affirmations?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. All right, here's some.
Uh-huh.
I am a divine, magnificent expression of light. Now, see, I love I am statements. When you say I am, that is going right directly inside to your that higher self inside. You're identifying
absolutely.
With the higher self. The higher self inside is where spirit dwells, and that's your true nature. You am, you're identifying, says, I am this, and
mm-hmm.
and you're affirming that you are this. So you say, I am a divine, magnificent expression of light. All right?
And that
I
is the phrase. Mm-hmm. And that's the phrase that created the universe, actually. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's important that people understand. The phrase I am is the most powerful phrase in the entire language, any language. I am says everything, and it created the universe. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. And it's powerful when you say that. You know, another one, I am one with the power that created me, and I express for myself the greatness that I am.
Mm.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
That's very powerful because now you have bookends. You started it with I am and ended it with I am. Everything in the middle is laser focused now. Look at that.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
like
so
a
when
prayer.
People are, when they're reading these things, they say, oh, my God. So that's why I try to do it every Monday, even though sometimes I'm a little falling short with my own schedule. I try to do it first thing in the week so you can use that for the whole week and live a better week, you know, and realize that no matter what happens, we have the natural ability to rise above all stress and problems and come out a winner because we're a natural winner and we love that about ourselves and tell ourselves that.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. We are all powerful like our Creator. Thank you so much for coming on the air and spending this time with us. And I do wish you amazing success, joy, and abundance in your own life.
Thank you. And you
I look forward to keeping in touch with you. Thank you so much. Oh, Nazim Rashid, everyone, visit his website. Go and bask in this man's light. Just amazing. Well, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for everything, and thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, as always, God bless and be at peace.